Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. I hope you guys are all doing really, really well. We've got our training call today on the myth of perfection. I know I say for almost all of our trainings, it's one of my favorite topics, but this is another one of my favorite topics. I'm so happy to be sharing this information with you today. So as you all know, this is, you know, we're still in our very large module that's all about going beyond the foundational coaching skills that we all need and we all want to continue to master, listening and creating awareness and questioning skills and visioning and strategizing and energetics, of course. We're in this module that's really about when the trickier situations with clients come up, when it's not enough to just create awareness. You know, a client needs more in order to move through obstacles and, you know, in order to not stay stuck. And as I've been sharing with you, you know, at the top of each of the calls in this module, what my intention is to give you a full toolbox of different techniques that you can use, different tools, and also different understandings of aspects of human behavior, so that when you are working with your clients, you know, we never really know what's going to come up or, you know, at the outset of something, what's the best tool, right? There's not just one tool to move clients through their obstacles, through their stuck places. So my intention is that you have a really full toolbox of techniques as well as understandings of human behavior, so that you can choose what you want to use and mix and match all of that. So, and today we're going to focus on the myth of perfection and really supporting clients beyond that. So what is perfectionism? What do we mean when we talk about perfectionism? Well, I'm going to define it, you know, how I use it and how we'll be using it today. So the way I want you to think about perfectionism is when you or a client has a need to get it totally right. And when you or a client isn't happy unless whatever you're doing or however you're being is absolutely perfect. So at the outset, that may not sound too bad, right? Having a need to always get it totally right, you know, like, not being happy unless it's absolutely perfect. But of course, if you're in this training, you already know that perfectionism can actually become one of the most insidious problems that a person can have. Because when you have this need to absolutely get it totally right, when you're not happy unless what you're doing or how you're being or what you're creating is absolutely perfect, then lots of things happen. Number one, your perfectionism can stop you from actually getting things done. Or it might make everything take so much longer because you're harping on it being perfect. Or perfectionism might rob you of your confidence because you're striving for something to be perfect. If it doesn't end up that way, then you feel like, ugh, it's not good at all. I'm not good at all. Oftentimes when somebody is experiencing perfectionism or has a lot of perfectionism activated inside of themselves, they're more prone to self-judge, to be self-critical, or to be critical of others. So I have so many stories that I can share of my experience of my own perfectionism, but I'll just share one to illustrate for you, and you can see, even if you haven't had this exact situation, you can see if you recognize some of yourself in this story. The very first business that I owned, I've only owned one other business besides the one that I do now, but I had a business partner. And when we were working on getting our website together for our business, her and I are both recovering perfectionists. At that point, we were not recovering. We were heavy into our perfectionism. And I like to blame it also on the fact that we're both Virgos. Virgos tend to be perfectionists. Anyway, we were getting our first website up. And this was even before, this was almost 20 years ago. This was before websites even mattered that much. And honestly, when you're first starting out in your business, websites don't even really matter that much, even today. But anyway, it really didn't matter that much back then. There wasn't a lot of internet marketing. There wasn't the kind of social media that we had today that directs people to websites, all of that. And me and my business partner, Dawn, we came up with this grand plan for this incredible website with all of these pages. And to make a long story short, we not only drove our graphic designer crazy. I mean, it took her 8 months just to get a logo that we liked. We kept on having her go back and do revisions. And when we finally thought something was good, a few weeks later, we decided it wasn't good. But it took a year for us to write the copy for that website. And it's not because we were lazy, and it's not because we're not get it done gals, because I have always been a get it done person, but it was because of this. It needs to be perfect. Like, this is the thing that's going out to the public, and it has to be this incredible thing that is, however we in our minds decided it has to be perfect. Because of that, we wrote much slower. We didn't write at all. We held up the graphic designer. And we literally held up our business for a year. We were still doing some business, but we kept on saying it's not until the website that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, right? And so we literally held ourselves up for a full year before we allowed that to, go out into the world. It was such a classic example of how we thought, right, in our minds, we thought our perfectionism was really serving us. I mean, I don't think we thought of ourselves as perfectionists. We didn't have that awareness, but we thought the striving for it being just so amazing was serving us, but actually it was doing the exact opposite. So take a moment for yourself and just jot down, where are some places in your life, personal life or business, right? Sometimes we can project our perfectionism. It's not just onto work, right? It can be onto our relationships. It can be onto our children. It can be onto our health. It can be onto our homes and what our homes look like and feel like. It can be onto our appearance. whatever it is, take a moment and see if you can find some examples of how perfectionism shows up in your life. Jot down some examples. How does perfectionism show up in your life? On a scale of 1 to 10, how perfectionist are you? 1 being like it doesn't affect you at all, and 10 being it's a thing in your life. And a lot of the time when we are perfectionists, we'll talk about this a little later in the call. A lot of the time when we are perfectionist, it may not look like it on the outside. It may actually look like we're the opposite of it. But it's actually the perfectionism that's causing the opposite behavior. On a scale of 1 to 10, how perfectionist are you? Next question I want you to journal on: what's positive about your perfectionism and the ways that your perfectionism comes up and the places that it comes up? What's actually good about it? So, you know, as an example for me, when I am able to manage my perfectionism, and we'll get there on this call, you know, tools and all of that, but just like the natural perfectionism in me is what creates my incredible work ethic and me taking really good care of my clients and showing up. So what's positive about your perfectionism, right? Because nothing is ever completely negative, or usually not even ever completely positive, right? What's positive about your perfectionism and how it shows up and the places it shows up? And then next question, what about your perfectionism isn't working so well for you? Where are the places that your perfectionism are not really so positive? They're not really working so well. What are they holding you up with? What are they stalling you with? What inner angst is it causing you? How is the perfectionism not working so well? I'll give you a minute with that one. Whenever there's perfectionism present, whether it's inside of you or inside of clients, there's usually a whole set or series of beliefs behind the perfectionism. The perfectionism isn't just an innate quality. It's usually born out of a series of beliefs or experiences. So I want to kind of just go a little bit deeper right now and begin to look at where, you know, what might be lurking for you behind your perfectionism. So I'm going to give you a couple of, I'm going to start some sentences for you, and what I want you to do is write the beginning of the sentence that I give you, and then I want you to write for, I'm going to give you for each one about a minute and a half, and I want you to just keep on writing. It's kind of like just write without stopping. Don't worry about spelling or grammar. Go write as fast as you can, almost a little bit to bypass some of the mind or top of mind in a way, logical mind, and see what's behind it. So here's the first, complete the sentence. It's important to be perfect because. It's important to be perfect because. And then just finish that paragraph, write as fast as you can until I tell you to stop. It's important to be perfect because. Just keep on writing. You've got about another 30 seconds. See what wants to come through. Take another couple of moments, finish up your thought. Okay. We've got three more of these, so you might want to shake your hand a little bit because we're going to still do a bit of writing. Next, complete the sentence. Being perfect will save me from... dot, dot, dot. Complete that sentence, paragraph. Being perfect will save me from, again, just write as fast as you can. Just see if you can keep on going, see what wants to come through. Take another few moments. Okay, good. We've got two more of these. Shake your hand out if you need to. All right, next, complete the sentence, complete the paragraph, is, if I'm not perfect, then I will have to. if I'm not perfect, then I will have to. And you may get some of the same answers as you have from the others, and just kind of giving you some different entry points here. If I'm not perfect, then I will have to. All right, you can bring that one to a close. And then finally, last, complete the sentence. When I was younger, I was expected to be perfect by. When I was younger, I was expected to be perfect by. Take another couple moments on that one. And then last question for now. Who in your life do you expect perfection or near perfection from? Maybe without realizing it until right now, as we're looking at all of this. Who in your life do you expect perfection or near perfection from? Who are you holding maybe to too high standards? All right, let's pause here for a moment. I'd love to hear one or two shares on what you're seeing so far, what's coming forward, beliefs that are showing up, or examples of your own perfectionism. Star two. I'd like to share. My computer is doing something weird here. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Got a bunch of hands. Who is this? 0684 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice again. My insight is that my perfectionism shows up, especially when I'm preparing things. So I love to prepare things, but I sometimes get obsessed by preparation, and the control freak totally takes over, and then it drains me, costs a lot of energy. So yeah. That's an important insight. And the other thing that was interesting was the question, when I was younger, I was expected to be perfect. I don't think my parents ever used the word perfectionism, but I had a father who was very proud of us, so I thought I had to do things at the highest level to make him feel proud over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think it was also me I wanted to make my parents very proud and were very proud, so you want to repeat that behavior. I think that was what's going on.
Yeah, I'm so glad you can see it. It's true. Our parents rarely, you know, will probably not use the term perfect or perfection, but for so many of us, a lot of this perfectionism started because of expectations that parents had or others had or we think they had of us, and that's where so many of the beliefs got rooted in. Good. I'm so glad you can see all of that. Beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take a couple more shares here. Gail.
Hi. This has been a little difficult. Not to get the words, not to find the words, but to write them down. And that's one of the things that comes up with me with perfection is once I've written something down, it's going to be seen, it's going to be judged harshly, I expect. And I know one of the things that it came from is when I was younger, I felt I was expected to be perfect by my paternal grandmother and my father, and often they did not understand me or my actions, and so there was punishment involved in some way. Whether or not, in other words, I knew I was right, but I could never get that out.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like you can see so clearly the link between that and now this fear of being judged.
Yeah. Writing, speaking.
Yeah. It makes so much sense. And I'm guessing that that's holding you back in some things that you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
We've spoken about this before. You have so much to say. You have so much wisdom. But if it feels like it can only come out perfectly, that's kind of like a recipe for it's not going to come out then.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what happens and where I get stuck a lot.
Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad that you're seeing that. All right, let's take one more share for now. I think this is Carolyn, but I'm not sure. 2809.
Oh, hi, Joanna. It's Connie.
Connie. There are a couple of people that... anyway, it's Connie. Hi.
Hi. This one really touched home, and I'm aware of my perfectionism and how it stemmed from my father, who was overly critical, and how I would be abused because of it, physically, emotionally, all of that. But what really hit home was the question... being perfect will save me from, and it just went on and on, from being abandoned, outcast, judged, criticized, beat up, pounced on, singled out. I know that all of that is stopping me from putting myself out there, especially, it's so interesting. I'm scared of being seen. So, like, if I'm not perfect, then I'll have to show my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And then I'm scared of being ignored or outcast or, I'm scared of hearing crickets. I'm scared of putting something out there and no responses.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So this is so important, right? Because, I mean, tell me if you're hearing and seeing what I'm hearing and seeing, but it's like there's in your mind, in the moment, you tell yourself, if this isn't perfect, then I'm actually, like, I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get abandoned. I'm going to get trampled on.
Yes.
Nobody is even going to pay attention. Or if they pay attention, it's going to be negative attention. If it's anything less than perfect.
Yes.
I mean, in
exactly.
a way, that's so crazy, right? Because you would never put that onto anyone else, right? And not just you, by the way. We all, so many of us do that, which is why this is such an important topic, because somewhere in our minds, even though we know better, we've decided that this is what happens if there is any little bit of, like, not perfect, 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 right?
Yes, and it's so frustrating because I understand this intellectually, but still the subconscious is still running me.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll get to tools that you can use. You have to work the tools. You have to use them persistently. The awareness is so important. It's like, you know, the first three steps is the awareness. But because these things are embedded so deeply, you're right, like the awareness isn't enough. We need the tools or to use the rewiring, the negative thought process persistently, right, in order to really work with these.
Yes, and guess what? The perfectionist in me, it lacks the consistency, persistence, the follow-through. I lack in that area, so this is really good stuff. I want to get better at follow through and consistency.
Yes, awesome. And you don't have to be perfect in your follow through. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know some other people have their hands raised. I'm going to keep on going, but we'll have more opportunities for more sharing, but there's still a lot of content I want to get through today. So, the reason why I call this class and this topic the myth of perfectionism, not just perfectionism, or the myth of perfection, is because perfectionism is actually a myth, or that's not the right word, being perfect is a myth. If you are a human being, there's no such thing as being perfect. And the moment that any part of you believes that you need to be perfect, that belief is actually in diametric opposition to what is capable for a human being. The moment you buy into any belief that tells you that you need to be perfect in any area of your life, you have ceased to think of yourself as a human and have started to think of yourself as a god. I'm putting emphasis on this point because it's so important. Perfection is not possible for humans. It is truly only for the gods. So we're kidding ourselves. Anytime we think we're going to get anything perfect, it is a recipe for failure from the get-go. We are tricking ourselves. We are setting ourselves up because we can't achieve it. It's not possible for us. We're not meant to. To take that a step further, when we get stuck in this myth of perfection, in this lie that we could actually be perfect in anything, what we're actually also stuck in or engaged in is black and white thinking. The myth of perfection is black or white thinking. Let me explain more what I mean by that. when we get stuck in the myth of perfection, there are only two choices: perfection or failure. When we engage in this myth of perfection, we cease to have any options other than I can either be perfect, but if it's not perfect, 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 then I'm a failure. When we do this, which is what happens when we're in the myth of perfection, there is no middle ground whatsoever. There is no option of, you know what, that was not perfect, but it was really good. Or that wasn't perfect, but it served its purpose. It got me what I needed. Instead, what happens is we're in a ping pong game between perfection and failure. It's a little bit like a cycle. It's reminiscent of the cycle of self-sabotage in a way, actually. So it happens in this ping pong game, and check this out for your, see if you've been here. Without realizing it or without realizing it, you strive for perfection, right? This is going to be the best website ever. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so great and so grand. And you go for perfection, and because you're a human being, it doesn't end up perfect, and then you slam the ping pong into the failure zone. Because it wasn't perfect, it's like, ugh, I am the worst. This website is the worst. It's never going to be good enough. And then as soon as you, like, can't stand being in that place of, ugh, I suck anymore, the ping pong gets slammed again into then, okay, I'm going to make this perfect. I'm going to make this perfect. You're going to be so good. And then when you realize it can't be perfect, you get slammed back again into the, I'm a failure. This is a failure. Think about where the places where you do that or used to do that. Relationships or work or health or, you know, whatever it is, where it's like we're just in that ping pong game, perfection, failure, right? We don't allow for that middle ground. But here's the thing, and this is really important. The middle ground is where reality is. That's actually where human experience is. Human experience is not in perfection, and it's not in utter failure. Real life is in that place in between. And when I say in that middle place, I don't mean mediocre. I don't mean that you're relegated to being mediocre. I just mean that you're in the place between perfection and failure. You're in that middle ground. That's where real life is, and honestly, that's where the gold of living is. That's where the juice, like that's where the beauty of life is. Again, once we hit perfection, we're not alive anymore. Like only the gods or spirits, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, you know, like the universe, that's it. Like we're not living anymore when we hit that. Okay, I just want to pause here for one moment before we continue, just to see if there are any questions on this. We're going to do a little bit of inner work in a sec, and then we'll get to tools and how to work this with your clients. But this is what I'm talking about here with the black and white thinking and the ping pong game is so important. I just want to make sure you guys got it. So start to, any questions on that? 0684.
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole again.
Hi.
I was wondering, and I have a question, and maybe later you talk about it or not, I don't know. I was wondering if forgiveness plays a role in this, because we're so harsh on ourselves, and when we don't do it perfect and we see ourselves as a failure, does forgiveness play a role? And maybe you talk about this later, but I was wondering if this is a topic that is related to perfection.
Yeah, it's so great that you're bringing it up. I'm not talking about it later, but I think here is why. Because you'll see in the tools that I give you or give you to work with clients, forgiveness means that there's something to forgive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that? Like, forgiveness of not being perfect means that you're actually, in a way, still buying into that myth of perfection.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you mean. But, I thought it was more related to when you're so harsh on yourself.
Yes, we'll definitely take a look. We'll definitely take a look at that. Yes, and how to work that.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. This really helps me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Such a good question. All right. So do a little bit of inner work here. And then we'll get to tools. Where in your life right now, life or work, are you engaging in binary thinking, in black or white thinking? I'm either rich or I'm poor. I'm either completely beautiful and sexy or I'm just disgusting. I'm a total success, or if not, I'm a failure. I have spaciousness, I have a spacious life, or I just have no time at all for myself. I'm healthy or I'm sick, right? Those are all examples of black or white thinking. It's related to perfectionism, right? So where in your life or work are you engaging in binary thinking? It's either this extreme or that extreme. There's no option for any of the gray area where real life is. And I'll admit, in my not good moments, I project that onto my kids, right? Like, I either have the best kids in the world, they're the total angels, or they are the worst kids, and I'm sure they're, you know, going to prison at some point in their adult lives for a very long time for awful crimes, right? Like, there are moments where I just project that black and white binary thinking myth of perfection onto them. So where in your life or work are you doing this? Next question. How does your black and white thinking or your binary thinking impact you on the inner and outer levels? What's the impact of engaging in the black and white thinking, which again is a version of perfectionism? So in my example, you know, it can make things hard with my kids, right? Because then when they're just acting like normal kids who do things that don't make me so happy, again, in those moments where I'm engaged in the black and white thinking, it's like I can't see that it's okay, right? That they're okay. It's harder to find the right ways to respond to it. I end up getting mad at myself that I haven't done a good enough job with that, you know, whatever it is, right? On and on. So what are some of the ways that your black and white thinking impact you, inner and outer? And then last question for this section, how is perfectionism or binary thinking, black and white thinking, modeled for you when you were younger? How is perfectionism or black and white thinking modeled for you? All right. Anyone want to share anything that you're seeing or coming through these questions start to? What's kind of becoming a little more apparent to you? Anyone want to share? Nope. Okay, then we'll keep on going. All right. So I want to share one more piece before we get into how to work with ourselves and our clients so that you can really just like understand the full behavior around all of this. Oftentimes, perfectionism can be put into shadow. So without getting, you know, for those of you that are in level two and were at the retreat, you know the full explanation of shadow. I'm not going to get into the full explanation here, but what I will share is that what can oftentimes happen is we put a part of ourselves in shadow. We cut a part of ourselves off from ourselves. And when we cut a part of ourselves off, one of two things happen. Either we get really hyper in that one thing. So, if there was such a thing as a healthy perfectionist, it would be the person that can see they're never really going to achieve perfection, but in a balanced way, without beating themselves up, they're striving for the best that they can be, right? That's healthy. But if for some reason that's repressed in one way or another, the result is either going to be hyper-perfectionism, which is most of what we've been looking at so far, which is that someone becomes perfect, you know, like they're just striving for the perfection, and they overwork, they're overdoing things, just the details, all of that. Or the other thing that can happen when something is put into shadow is the exact opposite can show up. So someone can become sloth-like or lazy or sloppy or just always like doing things that are going to create perceived failures. So I just wanted you to check that out for yourself. You know, for you, maybe the hyper-perfectionist shows up most of the time, the one who's perfect, 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 and slows you down and gets in your way, you know, and creates judgment and creates problems. But does the opposite show up for you sometimes, being lazy or sloth-like or sloppy or tons of sloppy mistakes? So I won't get any more into that shadow piece really for now, but it's just interesting to note for yourself. And then also, you know, if you have a client who exhibits some of those archetypes of the lazy one or the sloppy one, that's going to give you a clue that you may want to work with some of the myth of perfection. So that's a great segue into what are some of the signs that a client is stuck in the myth of perfection. So again, like I said, any one of those shadow archetypes is probably a pretty good clue that you want to be exploring perfectionism in one way or another. Another sign that a client might be stuck in the myth of perfection is they keep on going back to make sure something is good enough, you know, whatever that something is. But they never actually end up putting it out in the world or launching it or going for it, you know, whatever it is. And then anything that came up in your journaling around how perfectionism shows up for you, that's a sign, right, that it's likely coming, you know, it's operating for a client as well. Oftentimes, I'm sure everybody has heard this, our clients are a version of us. So a lot of the things that we struggle with or have struggled with are the exact things that our clients do as well. So we can really see those signs. So what are some ways to work with the myth of perfection if we see that it's operating for a client? Well, there are a couple of different ways you can work with it. So usually, no matter how you're going to work with it, the very first thing is just to create awareness around it, especially if your client isn't yet aware. You know, a lot of times it's because of the transformational industry, you know, people maybe have heard of perfectionism. It's in their language, but they don't understand it as deeply as how we've already looked at it today and how it functions. And so using your creating awareness skills, your questioning skills, your listening skills to really help your client see and understand how it's functioning, how the perfectionism shows up for them, the impact that that perfectionism has, the beliefs behind the perfectionism, the black and white thinking or the ping-ponging that they're moving through, being able to create awareness around all of that. You can use some of the questions that I asked today or just whatever is going to come up naturally in that coaching session. But you do want to create awareness, not just about, okay, you're a perfectionist, right, but really like the impact and how it functions and what beliefs and where it's coming from. So no matter what other tools you use, that's always going to be one of the biggies. And then from there, another thing that I often like to do is to let my clients know that I am not perfect. Right? So we've already, in Sacred Depths, we've touched on this a little bit here and there, but I want to just really make the clear point right here. One of the problems, as I see it, in the coaching industry that is really doing a lot of damage and really counterproductive to the coaching process and the growth process and the transformation process and the healing process is when coaches or healers or practitioners are on their high horse or their pedestal and not willing to show that they are imperfect. When we as coaches can let our clients know that we're not perfect, we're modeling for them what it's like to be a happy, aligned human being, right, in that middle zone between perfectionism and failure. We act as role models for our clients. It's one of the functions of a coach. And the more that we can show that it's more than possible to be healthy, to be successful, to be, you know, whatever it is, right, that our clients are looking for without being perfect, then the more it will give permission to our clients to move out of that myth of perfection and to challenge some of their beliefs around, I need to be this in order to have that. The other thing that's really important when we're working with clients on perfectionism, and this is one of the reasons why we do, you know, so much inner work in all of these training calls, is you as the coach need to check your own perfectionism filters. There's no way that you can help a client move out of their myth of perfection if you have unchecked perfection filters, particularly around the topics that you're helping them with, right? So there's no way I could ever help my clients successfully complete a website if they've got the myth of perfection rolling around, if I have any unchecked beliefs around the perfect website. There's no way I can support a client to creating a deeper relationship with their partner if I have unchecked filters around partnership or around marriage. So you want to really check your own perfectionism filters. So those are kind of like the basics that are going to be underneath any other tools that you use when it comes to perfectionism. And then here are some that you can layer on top of that. So this is one of my favorites. I love this tool. I use this myself, particularly in moments of time where my own perfectionism becomes activated. It's a tool called Even Though, Nevertheless. So I'll explain what the tool is or how to use the tool first, and then I'll explain why it's effective. So Even Though, Nevertheless tool looks something like this. You're going to ask your client, and you can do this together in a session. I actually recommend the first time that you do it with any client that you do it together on a call or in a session, but you ask them to complete this sentence 10 times, even though nevertheless. So let's use the example of the website. So it might look something like this. Even though the copy on my website isn't exactly like the ultimate way it should be, nevertheless, I've worked hard on the copy and it really activates the gap and the vision that's needed for the reader. Even though I don't have all 12 pages completed of the website, Nevertheless, I have 10 of them written, and I can put on the other two coming soon. Even though I feel like I look overweight in my photos on the website, nevertheless, I've been told by a number of friends that they're beautiful, and I can see that my radiance is coming through and that my smile makes a connection with the viewer in those photos. So you guys see where I'm going with this? Even though, nevertheless. So you don't want to do just one of them. You want to do, you know, at least 5 to 10, at least. So why is this a good tool for working with Myth of Perfection? Because it brings your client or yourself, if you're working on it for you, into that middle ground place that we've been talking about. It takes you straight out of black and white thinking, and it brings you into to where real life is without with honoring some of the disappointment of not being perfect, right? So that's why the even though is there, right? To honor, okay, wanted it to be like that. I wanted to look really thin in the photo or whatever it is, right? But then the nevertheless brings you into that middle ground place, that place of reality, that place of being realistic. I do this again, you know, anytime I see that I've slipped into perfectionism, that I'm being really harsh with myself, that's the other sign that you know that a client is stuck in perfectionism, if they're just being really, really hard on themselves and really harsh with themselves, full of judgment, you know, then I will do this. I had a situation a year and a half ago with work that was just, it was really crazy, and I was having so many judgments of myself. I finally sat down and I did like 25 even though neverthelesses, and I honored all of the places where I felt short, where I fell short with the even those, but in the neverthelesses I also saw where I wasn't a total and utter complete failure. It's so helpful. So part of your homework, I'll tell you later this week, but part of your homework this week is I want you to work on some even though neverthelesses for yourself. Again, doing one or two isn't enough. You want to do a critical amount, and if you can do them a couple of times in a week, it really can start to shift some things. Another tool that you can use if you're working with a client on myth of perfection, well, actually, before we move on, I want to just pause on the even though nevertheless, because it's such a powerful and effective tool. It's something that you can start using right away and start using with clients right away. I just want to see what you're hearing around that that's important, any like takeaways around that even though nevertheless tool, or any questions that you have on it. So star two. No questions? Okay. Oh, there's a question. Nicole.
Well, it's not a question. It's a great insight. I am just very short. What a great tool. I really wanted to start immediately writing down some things, and I can really help a client who I talk to today. So thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're so welcome. Tool. No, it's really one of those, like, you can just take it and run with it tool.
Yeah. Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. So next tool if you enjoy doing archetype work or persona work, and those of you that have been in the archetype, the shadow and archetype retreat with me, you know, we did a lot of kind of training on this. But you can use the perfectionist as an archetype and really help your client or yourself work with the archetype or the persona of that perfectionist. So the way that that would look is, you know, you could do it either through a visualization, or you can do it through dialogue, or just simple questioning. But you'd want to, you know, ask your client, like, the perfectionist part of you, what does that one look like? What does your perfectionist look like? How, you know, what does she or he wear, they wear? What is the expression on their face? How do they hold themselves, right? So first you just want to get your client connected in to, like, what this energy inside of them looks like and feels like. Even that alone, even if you weren't to do any other archetype, you know, any other work with that archetype beyond that, even that is valuable, and I'll tell you why. Because what happens when we are in the myth of perfection, or really just get stuck in any persona or archetype, is that we end up, it's in our blind spot. It's like that whole energy takes up our whole being. We don't see ourselves as separate from it. We don't know how to separate ourselves from it. So just by having a client start to visualize this perfectionist part of themselves, it begins to take it out of the blind spot. It begins to create distance so that your client can see it. They can get a much fresher and more direct perspective on it instead of it just being totally mixed up inside, you know, as part of them. But then if you want to go further, you know, have your client dialogue with this one, right? And ask questions like, you know, how do you show up in my life? You know, from your highest self, what are you here to teach me? What is it that you would like for me to do from your highest self? It's always important to say from your highest self, because you don't want the archetype or the persona to answer from its lower level sabotaging energies, right? They all have wisdom to offer. You can ask, what's the wisdom that you have for me? You know, is there a daily practice that you want me to do, right? You can have your client can draw their perfectionist or make art from their perfectionist self. The more, it's similar to befriending your fear. We can call it befriending your perfectionist, right? The more that they can make friends with this one, create a relationship with this one, instead of it being in their blind spot and unconsciously dictating and running the show, then the more control your client is going to have over their perfectionist, instead of that perfectionist energy having control over them. The other way that you can work with the myth of perfection, again, just really using your questioning skills, right? So if you're working, you know, for some clients, they're just going to need straight up, you know, questions like, what's the perfectionist? Well, we'll use the website again. What's the perfectionist version of the website? And what's the realistic and acceptable version of the website, right? So helping them determine, it's a little bit like even though nevertheless, but getting at it in a little bit of a different way, like really helping them see the difference between what's the perfectionism here and then what's actually realistic and acceptable here. Or asking questions like, you know, how hard are you being on yourself here? And then a really great question that can help open up so much around this is, what would you expect of X here? And X would be somebody that they really love. So I oftentimes will ask, like, if somebody has a child, you know, what would you expect of James, whatever their child's name is? Like, what would you expect of James here? What would you want James to know about how to move forward with this, about what to strive for here? That can oftentimes really kind of like jolt a person out of that myth of perfection and into seeing how hard they've been on themselves and into resetting expectations that are actually going to work so much better for them. Another piece you may want to bring in as you're working with the myth of perfection is another myth, which is the myth of arrival. They're very closely related. And the myth of arrival is another place where so many of us get caught and stuck. So what the myth of arrival is basically the idea that once I do this, 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 and this, then I've arrived and everything is going to be great. I'm never going to have to worry about anything again and my life is going to be wonderful and blah, 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 right? How many times have we fallen into that? Like, if only I could make this much. I mean, this has happened in my business so much. If only I could earn this much, right, then everything is going to be okay. And then you get there, you think you're going to arrive when you get there, but you get there and then it's like, no, but if only I could make this much, right? Or if only I have a child, or if only I get married, or if only I could lose this much weight, or, you know, if only I could move to this place, right? So oftentimes the myth of perfection goes hand in hand with a myth of arrival. So being able to open up and create awareness there can be really helpful. And then also to help, and I think this is what I'm about to say next is another one of those things that I feel like is actually the job of all coaches, is to help our clients step into a growth mindset. And so what that means is oftentimes our clients and ourselves are not in growth mindsets. Here's what a growth mindset is. The road to success is always under construction. Basically, it's the exact opposite of the myth of arrival. Right? There's no arriving. When you're in a growth mindset, there's no arriving. It's knowing that you're always growing. That doesn't mean you have to push yourself to like be, you know, full on force growing all the time. But what it means is that the human nature, the true human process is not to arrive, but to be working on it, right? It's the power of yet. Haven't gotten there yet. And to be in that yet place for so many people is disempowering until we can really bring them into that growth mindset. So I find that the growth mindset and the debunking the myth of arrival can really help eat away at the gnarlier myth of perfection. And then, of course, if you're versed in working with shadow, you know, for those of you that were at the retreat with me, you can use the shadow steps with the perfectionist and really look at the full range of the hyper and the suppressed and go through that full process. Okay, so take a moment. We've been through a lot in this call in a short time. I want you to write down your top three takeaways from this call. What are you taking away for yourself that's really important for you? It can be personal or on the skill piece, or understanding of a human behavior, or understanding of some of your own stuff. What are your three top takeaways? And then I've got a bunch of homework for you. I'll give you, but right. I'd love to hear from some of you. Now is the time to raise your hands, or if you have questions, what are some of your takeaways, or what questions do you have for me? Star 3. What are you seeing for yourself? What's important, or what questions do you have? We're a smaller group today. You guys are a little quiet. I want to hear from some of you. Or if you're not with me here, you know, let me know too. Kelsey.
Hi. I think one of my takeaways is just really, two things. One, the being able to be in the gray area, the middle ground, is just such a healthy place. And I feel like I find myself there most of the time, but I do think there's a way that maybe my perfectionist is in shadow. So really, I think my key takeaway is also like, yeah, I'm not really a perfectionist, but maybe there's some shadow stuff. So really looking at the shadow for me, I think, is probably the part of it's in shadow either drives the overdoer, I don't know,
yeah,
or the lazy part. I don't know. I don't know exactly,
yeah,
but there's a part about shadow that struck me today.
Yeah, as you say that, you know, just knowing you a little bit, I feel like there's going to be some gold in you, for you, in there. You can just go through that process that we looked at the retreat, you know, the steps.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get some really good stuff there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thanks.
Awesome. Good. Let's see who's next. Joanna.
Hi, Joanna. So I loved this whole discussion from the really deep level of course, you know, important to be friends with perfectionism, but how fundamentally it can be based on fear and not being good enough and not being able to survive and how it's, how dreadfully it cuts compassion and joy and ease, and yet also, of course, high standards are wonderful and uplifting. And I love the even though, nevertheless, I love that. I've already been diving away in it as you're talking, and I'm just so grateful to work with you at this level. I just want to thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. And, you know, as you're talking, it reminded me of just another little tool that I want to give everyone to help work with the perfectionist. I can't remember what you just said, but, you know, the perfectionist, not for everybody, but the perfectionist by and large is, like, not fun at all. Like, there's no humor involved in the perfectionist. And so sometimes when I'm working with a client that's like deep into the perfectionism, you know, of course I need to make sure I have the green light on it, but I'll bring a sense of humor of, you know, into it. And it can really, just kind of chip away at the perfectionist to just bring a sense of humor in a loving way to, you know, tease the client a little bit or say something teasing about myself. That humor piece can really kind of open up for the perfectionist.
Yeah.
Something about what you said reminded me of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's see who else. Gail.
Yeah. Hi. I'm in the same boat with Johanna about using the tool of even though, nevertheless. It just really resonated with me. Because one of the things I'm doing, I'm working with a client and I'm telling him, you know, to write and to take certain actions. And I'm realizing I am not really doing that myself. And this is really helpful to me to do this one especially, even though nevertheless.
Good. I'm so glad. Yeah, and it can be used in so many ways. Like I'm thinking of what Connie brought forward before and saying like she's not good at the follow-up. You know, what can oftentimes happen with our perfectionists with the follow-up is that, okay, we say, all right, I'm going to like go and do this thing, and I'm going to do it every day. And then we only do it one day out of the first four, and our perfectionist says, oh, see, you only did it one day. It's not working. No need to continue. But we can even use the even though, nevertheless on that. Like, even though I didn't do it every day, nevertheless, I did it that one day, and that was really valuable for me, and I want to try and do it again, right? It's just like even just for little things like that, it can be such a helpful tool. Good. I'm so glad that's resonating. Good. All right. Let's see. Who is this calling from the web? It says anonymous web.
Hi, Joanna. This is Victoria.
Hi.
Hi. I've had a big family kind of shakeup. Just in the last couple of days, my brother actually suffered a stroke. And so, so anyway, I don't know if that's why this is coming up, but this is what my share is. I was just amazed at what came through when we were doing the prompts, the complete the following. And, you know, from a lifetime of being a perfectionist, I have, and really moving through a lot of it over the years, and I'm just so much softer and gentler with myself, and I can see it so clearly. However, what came up with the prompts was pretty profound, and I'm just happy that it's shown up. And what it was, basically the flavor of it is something you discussed a little earlier, but it's, you know, no one will love you if you don't, people will leave you, you are going to be abandoned. And so I was even really touched into being killed and dying.
Mm.
I wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing how even though I've moved through a lot of it, and I still see it, and being a Virgo, that's part of it too. But, you know, I kind of have used it to my advantage, like just, you know, being detail-oriented and things, not to a fault, but being able to, you know, master it. But anyway, just the profundity of depth and even darkness and just isolation, being cast out, being killed, being
I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's making me realize, you know, another thing that's important to mention is, you know, we really looked at perfectionism through the lens of our personal histories, which is really important. But so much of our perfectionism also comes from the collective unconscious and from our collective histories and our culture. And so that's just, I think, you know, as we work with ourselves and we work with our clients, I think it's important to have that awareness too, is that this is a lot about our mother, our father, our teacher, our, you know, all of that. But there's this whole other overlay of a collective unconscious that has bought into the myth of perfection as well.
Oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. And, you know, just seeing it and knowing it's there. And then that's even better because I can kind of determine to what level am I carrying my own things and to what level have I, you know, just with my, you know, from an empathetic perspective, you know, what am I carrying that's other people's? Society.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and I was kept thinking, well, maybe it's just the stuff that's gone on with my brother in the last couple of days, you know, and I don't think that's it. This feels very resonant with something that's, you know, the darkness of it. Like, I think it's me.
Yeah.
It's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure your brother is a part of it, but yeah, I think it would be there anyway.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Joanne. I appreciate
about him, I hope.
Oh, thank you.
Better.
Yeah. So far, so good. I mean, you know. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll take one more share. I think this is Connie.
Hi again.
Hi.
I realized that the perfectionist in me starts off programs really strong, and then I lose steam because I go into binary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And And then I go, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, or I'm not perfect, or I'm not the best, and then I start hiding out.
Yes, it's that ping pong game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm so glad you can see that. So now you can start tracking that for yourself, right?
Will do. Yes.
Yeah, good. So that's actually a great segue into our homework. I don't have an actual homework sheet, but I'll post these for you. There's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of things I'd like for you to do. This is all for yourself, but of course, start bringing it into your coaching sessions as well. So first of all, even though nevertheless, I'd love for you to do at least pick a topic, do at least 10 on that same topic. So website or your relationship, right? It can't be 10 random things, but all on the same thing. And see if you can do it a couple times this week, even though nevertheless, at least 10. Sometimes I do up to 25. So that's one thing. Another great thing to do is to have a dialogue with your inner perfectionist, right? Just so you can experience more of some of that archetype and persona work that I was talking about before. So, you know, dialogue, journal with your inner perfectionist. Another piece of homework is I want you to track your ping pong game. What Connie was just talking about, I want you to see if you can really create awareness as it's happening throughout your day and throughout your week. Where are you ping-ponging between perfection and failure or any other kind of binary thinking? The more that you can become aware of it, and then the more that you can become aware of it as it's happening, then the more you can start to change the neural pathways there. And then if you're working with a coaching partner, see if whatever your partner brings up for the coaching session, I want you to see if you can look at some of their stuff through the lens of the myth of perfection and see if you can start bringing some of these tools in or awarenesses in. And, of course, as more thoughts come to you or questions come, you know, please just let me know. You can post in the Facebook group. So thank you, everybody, for your energy and your time today. I hope this topic, you know, continues to work on you as you move through your day. There's lots here. And we're not going to meet for a couple of weeks. Next week I'm leading a retreat, and then the week after I'm in New Jersey with my family, but I'll see you the week after that. I think we're going to be taking a look at accountability tools and accountability structures. It's another real biggie. So wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.